Amen. As we begin our day, we mute our phones and check on everything. You know, I want to read you something before I get started here. The following is a letter, a short a verse out of a letter that that was written to a client as he stood before the precipice of traps and blessings. Perhaps this excerpt from that letter will help you know the difference. Fiduciary duty is given to you as a gift, and you will be tested. You will be tested. You will be tested. Today, chapter 1, partnering with God. Partnering with God. Chapter 1, partnering with God. But let's take a little excerpt from this letter. Job 23:10. But he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Tried me. That's the key element here, right? This letter was written as I stood before this man, as he stood in front of that precipice of traps and blessings. Traps and blessings. I tell you about it all the time. The difference between a trap and a blessing, it looks the same up front, but it is not. And you will be tested. Ignorance and turnaround. This is an excerpt, as I said, from this letter. Turnaround has been a very interesting and wild ride over the years. I personally continue to learn with each client. The work I do is largely misunderstood and taken for granted. People who are in trouble simply want to get out of trouble. Much of the time, this doesn't include changing anything personally, rather just getting back to business as usual. This ultimately means that the original set of problems will be repeated. Arrogance, indignant, and entitlement plague most CEOs. The trick is to use your character flaws to an advantage. Rather than be selfish in the things you like to do, be selfish and do the things that need to be done. Make that your selfish nature. You know it doesn't work, yet you do it anyway, hoping that this time somehow it'll be different. And then when somebody tells you the truth, your response is hopelessly filled with excuses. I've never met a CEO in trouble that could tell me the bank balance. Most company presidents have bookkeeping challenges. The books are never a priority. Whoever is entrusted with that job has little or no direction. Many times, people learn their own way. Shown the correct way, they resist. This mechanism is at play in numerous other areas of life as well. None of us really want to change. And faced with relevant information that was historically not known, an individual is either excited or threatened. The unfortunate end of the letter is negligence, immaturity, and the worst, indignation. That guy that I wrote this letter to, he didn't make it. So today, I am thoughtful. I am thoughtful today as we go to chapter 21. He was too smart. And today, unfortunately, he died not more than 10 weeks ago. Kids, chapter 1, partnering with God. I'm not clowning around when it comes to your life, and neither is God. Let's think about that for a second, right? Let's think about partnering with God. Is there a better way to describe a showstopper? I mean, that's a title, isn't it? Partnering with God. That's a title. What kind of is there a better showstopper than, hi, I'm partnering. Hi, everybody, my business partner is God. Yep, God. God, the guy who made everything, heaven and earth, you and me, all the animals in the world, the sea, the fish, the stars, and the moon, just to name a few, that's the guy. He's my partner in business. And basically, I work for him. Because although I'm the front man, he's really the brains behind the whole thing. Okay, let's open the floor for questions on produce, deliver, and collect of my product. Oh, yes, you in the back. Your question is good. I am a sinner of the worst kind with a resume to prove it. And now I'm in business with God. Explain it? Why, of course. Understandable, of course. Well, let me quote some scripture first. Galatians 1:11. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. Now, do I have any other questions from the group? What's that? What's that? Who's in the back there that says, "Who? What gives me the right to teach?" Great questions. Galatians 1, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Oh, we continue with the questions. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine this? Ah, yes, the man in the back with judgment on his mind. Let me be clear. I am in agreement with you on my irreverent beginnings and my sinful nature. Galatians 1:22. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they praise God because of me. Does anybody know what I'm talking about right now? I don't know. Because what I'm using as an example of what I'm doing is the Apostle Paul. Paul was a Christian killer by trade. That's what he did. He was a Roman. A Christian killer, a suppressor of Christ's people. But he was brought to the faith by Christ himself. Any different than you and me? Oh, no. He was a powerful man, an amazing story. You should read about him. He makes no apologies. He teaches kids. He teaching the Bible is not for the faint of heart. He teaches. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. He teaches kids. No, you kids. He teaches. He teaches. Kids, you. Teaching the Bible is not for the faint of heart. Neither is turnaround. Partnering with God is not for sissies. This is the super deal. You can't hold on to it by yourself. He is holding you on this amazing ride. The trick is you got to ask him. You got to believe. You got to know the word so you know how to believe, how to walk in faith, and what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you. So again, Paul. What's like Paul or like Pat or like you? When he calls, answer, well, yeah. In Paul's case, he knocked him off of a horse and asked him, "What are you doing suppressing my people? What's the matter with you?" He robbed him of his eyesight, and he didn't get it back till he was ministered to by a man. A prophet? Well, a man, just like you. A man. And in that moment, he became a convert. And these scriptures that I've read, for you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. This is Paul. Any different than you and me by acting like a donut head in your life? But then in Galatians 1:22-24, it says, the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. Paul said that. The guy, I used to persecute him, and now, those people praise God because of me. In the grace of God, Paul became the mouthpiece of the Lord. You and I have the same option. The trick is you got to ask him. You got to believe. You got to know so you know how to believe. You got to know the word so you know how to believe, how to walk in faith and what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you. You got to know what he did. Partnering with God is really important. You want to benefit from it? You got to know about it. I work with a lot of people, man, with way different backgrounds. There are believers, non-believers, some kind of believers. And then there's used to be believers, or maybe casual believers. Believers that are active, listen and learn the word. Well, that last one, believers that are active, they listen and learn the word, period. They're comfortable with God. Non-believers simply don't believe in God, they believe in themselves. When you don't believe in God, you got to believe in yourself. luck and making one's own opportunity. And as they say, when your luck runs out. With God, my luck doesn't run out because I'm not leaning on luck. I'm leaning on God, and He's okay with that. People that don't believe in God in times of trouble, they roll with whatever looks like the best move. You know what I'm talking about. You don't think about God first. You look at your options, right? I'm looking at my options here today. There's no structure or guidance that is utilized. Life is simply what you make it when you don't believe in God, in the good times and the bad times. I call that reactive management mode. You're just reacting to what's going on. You're not making any plans. You don't have any structure. You don't have any teaching behind it. You're just going as you go. Well, I came from the school of hard knocks. You really want to get knocked around everywhere all the time? You just do what you think might work after chaos has already crashed through the door of your life. Let's break it down. Let's just think about a maybe believer. Right? Maybe I believe, maybe I don't. Believe in God and pray when I need to. They're generally opinionated on numerous religions, right? Believers, non-believers, maybe believers. They got some opinions on all religion, but they haven't studied any of them. They're not an authority on the subject, right? Or let's say a casual believer. I go to church, but I don't really study anything. Perhaps grew up in the faith. Church is optional. If there are other things to be done, of course, I got to do that first. If you take right, wrong, good, and bad out of it, leaving no judgment on this thing, let's not judge a maybe believer or casual believer or sometime believer. Let's not judge it. Leaving no judgment at all, what you're left with is what works or what doesn't work. Let's think about that for a second. Take right, wrong, good, and bad out of it. You're left with what works or what doesn't work. If you're casual about God, I'm telling you, it won't work. God's not convenient. He's a project for sure. Chapter 1, partnering with God, it's a project. And one that, if it is done correctly, yields peace of mind, effective living, and most importantly, an understanding of God and what He has in store for you. All of you that have gone through Chapter 11 reorganization, all of you that are fighting yourself in times of trouble and strife, you're always leaning on yourself, not God. And when you lean on God, you're asking Him to do what you want, not what He wants, what you want. So which one's harder, not believing in God or believing in God with faith? I ask myself that all the time. Well, I have decided it's a lot easier to believe in God. Let's use marriage and family as an example, okay? Using the system of casual or non-believer applied to a marriage, it would definitely fail. There's no such thing as a casual commitment or a non-commitment commitment. Can you imagine? Do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife until it's inconvenient? Come on. In what is hoped to be a lifetime commitment, there must be faith in the relationship, a learning of each other, and a consistent honing of the skills required to grow together. That's no different in any relationship. Business, personal, God. We apply these principles to our business. Nothing can be casual there unless failure is the goal. You can't have casual business with your people, with your customers, with your employees. Let's just say I'm not a believer. Well, let's talk about the Ten Commandments. What if I'm not a believer? And what do the Ten Commandments mean? Well, nothing. It means I can kill, steal, and destroy as long as I can get away with it, right? I got no rules. I'm my own man. Sounds like confusion to me, and you all know it's confusion. A casual or maybe believer is like an almost airplane, right? It ain't gonna work. How about almost dinner, almost a job, almost a life? We get stuck, hung up with religion. Partnering with God is not a religion. Religion is made by men. The Bible is inspired by God. I believe that every word in it is either absolute or obsolete. I gotta believe it all or I can't believe any of it. I won't read any of it if I believe some of it's true. And so I'm the guy that's going to make that decision of what's real and what's not, what's relevant and what's not. I read it and I believe it. And my life has changed irrevocably because of it. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship with God. Christ, the Messiah, the risen King, Again, the Ten Commandments. Long story short, I try to live by them. I fail. I ask forgiveness and I try again. How does this help my business? Well, let's look at the first big ten. Ten Commandments, right? One, you shall have no other gods before me. Two, you shall not make idols. Three, you shall not take the name of the Lord God in vain. Four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Five, honor your father and your mother. Six, you shall not murder. Seven, you shall not commit adultery. Eight, you shall not steal. Nine, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Ten, you shall not covet. Okay, without God, the first four don't really work, right? You shall have no other gods. That wouldn't work if you don't believe in God. You shall not make idols. That doesn't work if you don't believe in God. You shall not take the name of the Lord God your vain. Doesn't really matter if you don't believe in God. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Yeah, you got that day off if you don't believe in God, right? Let's go to number five then. Honor your father and mother. Okay, it might work if you don't believe in God. Number six, no murder. Okay, number seven, adultery. Number eight, no stealing. Nine, bear false witness. Coming in at number 10, you shall not covet. Wow, what does that all do for a man in corporate lingo, if you don't believe in God? Well, you might want to do, let's say, let's just make it up. Without God, without the first four, you might want to do right by your parents by doing a good job with your life, not murdering your friends or sleeping with their wives and husbands or lying about your competitor because you're jealous of what they have, or on your taxes because you can. Sounds pretty straight up. Live without murdering, stealing, lying, cheating, and being jealous, and people might even say nice things about you. Okay, so out of the Ten Commandments, 6 out of 10, you got a little less than a 50-50 chance of success. If you do all those things right, maybe somebody will like you. I don't like those odds, man. And neither do you. I don't like those odds. I want a for sure deal, man. I want an absolute deal. Can it happen? Yeah, let's investigate. Paul the Apostle, my buddy today, he didn't care how people felt about him. Admittedly, a Christian murderer, non-believer, now a teacher of the Word of God? Wow. Paul, his name used to be Saul, renamed by the Lord, and the writer of most of the New Testament, man. God knocked him down and brought him into the service of the Lord. Let's get real here. Let's get real. Add the first four commandments. Add them. Let's say you believe in God. Add the first four. Now you got some heat. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Add those four. Add those four to honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. Now you got some heat, man. Now you got some heat. Jeremiah 29:11. What's the heat? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and the future. But let's stop for a moment with all this grandeur as we're moving up to partnering with God. What if you don't put in the top four? What if you don't believe and you still gotta get out of trouble? What if you don't believe in God but you still get out of trouble? Your turnaround guys to get you out of trouble. Let's say we don't use the first four, right? What happens to you? What's likely to happen to you? What's easier to happen to you? If you get out of trouble and you don't have God, Proverbs 26:11. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Mute your phones, kids. You're killing me. Mute your phones. Proverbs 26:11. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. William Shakespeare said, a fool thinks himself to be wise, but a wise man knows himself to be a fool. I'll talk about that, how we talk so pompously without God, as if we're all that in a bag of chips. All right, partnering with God. Could you learn about business in a science book? Probably not. In a math book? Probably not. How about in a business book? Sure, but then which business book? All of them? How would you have time to work? Which book did I use? Which book did I use? Much experience the Lord put in my path. Much experience the Lord put in my path, and many people from whom I have learned. But none compared to him, my buddies. None compared to him. I learned best from the original turnaround expert. Oh yeah, I went to the original turnaround school. Jesus Christ, the very first turnaround master. The very first turnaround, manager, master. What's the best teaching I received from you? The one I remember the most. Luke 16:10. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. It's important to stick with church, Ten Commandments in the Bible as it was originally written, if you want to partner with God. At least that's what I did. Even the best of us are inconsistent, though. In study, in obedience to the Lord, we're all inconsistent. I keep trying. He keeps helping me try. As a sinner, it's challenging. Temptation waits at every turn. The love of money, property, prestige, alcohol, drugs, gambling, inappropriate relationships, all waiting to destroy me and you. James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you don't believe in God, partner with yourself. Make your own rules. Be a lone wolf, and maybe all the world will be envious of you, or not. You can make a mess out of your own self. On your own self will run riot, right? Honor is a great value and a personal trait. It is learned for sure. Left to my own devices, I'm selfish and self-centered. Things change my mood. Anything. Fact and fiction are the same to a mind without God. Come on, really? You're a company owner, and you've been given the position of fiduciary. What does fiduciary mean? It means the buck stops with you. There's nobody to blame. In times of trouble and success, all days I can praise God because I want to be with him. I don't want to have the fiduciary position without somebody to lean on, without God to be there with me in times of trouble and success. All days I can praise God because I want to be with him. I have no desire anymore to oppose him or his will. I don't want to do that anymore, man. Produce, deliver, and collect is a prayer I get to do every day, and so do you. It's a gift every day to do the right thing at the right time, efficiently, and for a fair price. I get to do that. I'm breathing. So are you. All of it. Even on challenging days, I get to do it. In his holy grace, I get to proceed, to continue, to live, to love, and serve, and so do you. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Partnering with God is a journey. If you're bold enough to do it, if you're strong enough to handle it. And all along the way, things get better, even when stress takes over. Let me share a couple things with you. One, stress comes upon me when I'm resisting my responsibilities. Yeah, that's when it happens. Not because I got so much to do, but when I'm resisting my responsibilities. I don't think about it when I'm doing my responsibilities. I don't think about stress when I'm getting everything done. That's number one. Number two, I watch all of us fight for the right to be stupid. I watch all of us fight for our right to be stupid. Common sense is not so common, and stupid is very, very expensive. What are you hanging on to right now? What are you resisting right now? Dig in, by God, dig in. Let go. Let go and let God do the right thing. Do what is suggested. Do what is directed. These two items, stress comes upon me when I'm resisting responsibility, and I watch all of us fight for the right to be stupid. Those two things, I think about them all the time. You know what? Walk the road. Truth be told, believers and non-believers fear the same thing. I know that for sure. Yeah, it's true. What do all of us fear? Life without order. Life without love. Life without hope. That's what all of us fear. We all choose to deal with that fear in God or not. Either we depend on ourselves or God. When trouble comes, do I really want to be the only one I can depend on? Do I really want to depend on some other person? What's the downside to partnering with God, huh? Well, I have to take time to give to the relationship. No different than any other relationship. I need to take time to listen and understand, study and discuss, fellowship and Sabbath. Man, that's a lot of time. What's the upside to life without God? What's the upside without God? What's the upside? What's the exciting upside? Well, I don't have to study. I can judge everybody who does. I don't have to do anything, and I can believe I'm intelligent and superior to all who are clearly more learned than me. Do you really want to be the casual or maybe believer when chaos knocks your door down? Huh? Do you really want those who understand life to see you as a fool? Do you really want your actions to be those of someone who shuns knowledge and wisdom? Do you really want to be that person who has a few sips of alcohol and knows more than everybody in the room, is stronger than Samson on his best day? Really? Or do you want to have your secret weapon that puts you in the right place at the right time, a place you don't have to question? Your faith holds you in position, and God, his very hand is upon you. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I can tell you one thing for sure. There are no atheists in foxholes with rockets and bullets flying overhead. There are no atheists when your child is laying on a deathbed. There are few atheists when you're on your own deathbed, if you're lucky enough to know you're going to die. Not everybody gets that option. Get a jump on life and on your faith and on eternal salvation. Oh, by the way, eternal salvation through the blood of Christ. Eternal salvation. Decide while you're breathing. All of us, through the grace of heaven, have made it this far. I can't lie to myself and think I saved me from calamity. I put myself into it. How could I get myself out of it? There's a good chance I created the calamity the Lord delivered me from, right? Perhaps he pulled me through, gave me another chance, another shot at destiny, a destiny the Lord made just for me. Don't you want to find out about his plan for you? Don't you want to find out? It's a great one, for sure. One that's better than anything you could think of, anything I could ever think of. There are only so many minutes left in my life. Same as you. What will you do with yours? Here's a tip. Ask him. Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Come on, man. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Tell your story. What's your story? Cried out to the Lord in trouble, and he delivered you from your distress. That was me. That was me. I ask God every day if he will partner with me. As I understand scripture, by the way, there are many job openings for kingdom work. It pays good dividends, kids. Continue to apply for the job every day. He is waiting for you every day. Every day. 1 Chronicles 4:10. I'll leave you with this. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. Wow, that could be me or you. That could be me or you. Chapter 1, partnering with God. You don't have to do it. It's up to you. He offered you that. He offered you a relationship with God. You would think that the guy who made the world is somebody you'd like to know. But like I said at the beginning when I was talking, when I was making up my, you know, as if I wasn't standing in front of people, and what would I say? Hi, everybody, my business partner is God. Yep, God, the guy who made everything, heaven and earth, you and me, all the animals in the world, the sea, the fish, the stars, the moon, just to name a few, that's the guy. He's my partner in business, and basically I work for him because although I'm the front man, he's really the brains behind the whole thing. Okay, let's open the floor for questions on produce, deliver, and collect of my product. Oh, yes, you in the back, your question is good. I am a sinner of the worst kind with a resume to prove it, and now I'm in business with God. Explain it? Oh, I understand, right? Understandable. So let me quote scripture, Galatians 1:11. If you want to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin, I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. Come on, kids. Everybody here was not for it. When I was his enemy, he still loved me. When I was his enemy, when I was definitely not a good example, he still loved me. Find yourself in God. Chapter 1, partnering with God. It is the basis of everything I teach. Do I want it to be that way? I don't care. I don't care about anything but this. I have found that caring about anything but this gets me into trouble. I don't want any more trouble, and neither do you. Whatever it is, set it down at the feet of Jesus. Set it down. What you believe, what you think you believe, what I believe. I hear it all the time. I believe in science. When's the last time you read a science book? Right? I don't believe in God. I read the Bible once when I was in the fourth grade. Kids, this is nutsiness. The world is upside down, but it's been upside down for a long time. It's been crazy. It's always going to be crazy in this world. That's why God gave you the option of God. Why did he give you life? Why did he make mankind? So you could feel love. You could feel it. You could feel the amazing life of love in God. But you got to choose it. You choose the chaos of the world or the love of God. For me, chapter 1, partnering with God, I had to start someplace, and that's where I began. And it was late in life, kids. Stay the course. Listen to what I say and stay the course. Chapter 1, partnering with God. Well, John, that was a nice light message. Shall we get into the prayer and get everybody going? And by the way, kids, if you're listening to this on a podcast, do the assignment. John has written an assignment on the website. You can take a look at it. What it is your experiences you bring to the table, plus what you've learned in the lesson, and a scripture. So what you come to the table with, what you have learned from the lesson that I'm teaching right now, that I'm sharing with you right now, and a scripture that might describe the two of them together. It's very simple, and it's very good. Will it help you? Will it make more money in your business? Yes. Why? Because you get better. You get better. Johnny, would you get these people back to work?